This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Massachusetts police officers do not have blanket authority to seize cell phones in criminal investigations. That's the ruling from the state's highest court this week. A little bit of background. The case is Commonwealth v. White, and it happened back in 2010, or the crime regarding this case happened in 2010. Boston police were investigating the murder of a popular Roxbury store clerk, and they had a suspect. They wanted the suspect's cell phone, but police did not have a warrant nor permission from the suspect. They seized the cell phone from his high school anyway, claiming it was common sense that criminals use cell phones to talk with each other. Well, the Supreme Judicial Court unanimously rejected that reasoning, saying police must have, quote, particularized evidence that a phone was connected to a crime. So let's get some analysis from Nancy Gertner. She is WBUR's senior legal analyst and a former Massachusetts federal judge. Judge Gertner, good to have you back.
Nice to be here.
Okay, so quickly, what are the ramifications of the SJC's decision here?
Well, what the SJC said was there was a search warrant for the cell phone. The cell phone had been seized at his school. And they seized the cell phone and then applied for a search warrant to look at its contents. And the search warrant said only that, essentially that, or according to the decision, that because multiple defendants were involved in this case, they must have used their cell phones to communicate with one another. And essentially what the court is saying is that that is a generic description which would legitimize every cell phone search in every case. That's like saying, because I know you live in your house and sometimes meet people in your house, I have a right to search your house. Mm-hmm. And they said in order to look inside that cell phone, there had to be some particularized connection between that cell phone and the crime.
Okay, so let me be sure I understand this correctly. They had a warrant to search the contents of the phone, but
right.
They didn't necessarily have a warrant to seize the phone to begin with?
No, they didn't need a warrant to seize the phone because the kid had come late to school that day. The suspect had come late to school that day, and as part of the regular protocol, they seized the school, took his phone.
Uh-huh.
So the police took the phone from the school. So they seized it. There's a question about whether they had a right to seize the phone.
That's a separate issue.
But then they applied for a search warrant to look at the contents of the phone. And the search warrant essentially said he's a suspect in a crime. People who are, when there are multiple defendants with respect to a crime, they use cell phones. And the court said that characterization was so generic that it didn't justify searching this phone. Again, you can imagine, ordinarily what happens would be, there have been other cases, for example, where someone claimed that there were threats had been made on this particular phone at this particular time.
Right.
And that's a more particularized connection between the phone and the crime. Or someone could say, in your house, I saw you go in and out on this particular occasion. That might provide justification to search a particular house, but not just people use cell phones.
Okay, so, but a spokesman for DA Dan Conley has said that it's reasonable to believe that White, the defendant in this case, and co-defendants, like countless others, use their cell phones to communicate about crimes and the identities of the others involved, that's just a fact of modern life. So why do they have to take, the court says they do have to take an extra step to prove those particular connections, but the DA's office is saying it totally disagrees.
Well, I'm not surprised that the DA's office totally disagrees. But the question here is whether that is such a generic, general category that it essentially wipes out probable cause in a search warrant, period. You know, you're applying to the court and you're saying, here are the reasons, the facts justifying the search of this particular item. And if all you have to say is, people generally use cell phones. Mm-hmm. If that's all you have to say, then the search warrant isn't worth the paper it's written on.
Well, let's talk about some analogous situations here to get a better understanding of what sort of the legal precedents are, because Orrin Kerr, a professor at the George Washington University Law School, has been quoted as saying that he looks at this case as similar to cases that involve searching the houses of drug dealers, right? And then in his view, searching someone's home for drugs or drug paraphernalia, courts have typically not demanded this particularized evidence. So is that accurate?
Well, it's a question of whether you need particular evidence to get into the home. So you'd have to say, this is where they live. I see cars coming back and forth into this house. This is where he lived during this particular period of time, and the transaction occurred within that period of time. Do you need something more particularized with respect to a room in a single-family house? Probably not. But you certainly need particularized data to get inside the house. Otherwise, suspicion of a crime would basically open up all houses. I mean, what's interesting about what the court is trying to do in an electronic world is trying to figure out how to create regulation of privacy within mm-hmm. that electronic world. And that's what this decision is seeking to do.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because I think the SJC has taken other cases in the recent past that looked at, for example, how specific does a warrant have to be in terms of the type of content on a phone that law enforcement wants to search. You know, they couldn't just say, we want to search everything.
Right. Well, I mean, I think so you see it in several settings, right? So one setting is you're arrested on one crime and I have a right then to search you, incident that arrest, to make sure that there's, you know, you have no weapons, et cetera. I pat you down in connection with that arrest, and also to make sure that I get everything out of your pockets. When you come upon a cell phone, however, is that like an electronic briefcase? Do I have a right to open that up and look at everything? Or is it really just, you know, you have a joint in your pocket? Well, the court is saying that in other cases that it's like an electronic briefcase. And in order to open up that briefcase, you need a search warrant.
But what about, I mean, I've heard this argument from law enforcement before that each time one of these rulings comes down that makes it harder or delays the time between when law enforcement decided they need to look at a cell phone and when they can, or the strictures by which a warrant says what they can search, that it makes their jobs much more onerous and it makes it more difficult. She's falling over. Judge Gertner doesn't even like the tone of my question, but you know what law enforcement says, that this
right.
ties their hands in the course of their investigation.
But, you know, let's step back from this. The Fourth Amendment and the Massachusetts Constitution ties their hands. Life would be more efficient for everyone if the police officers could simply break down people's doors, and not have to pause, get a warrant, and apply to a neutral magistrate. The founding fathers, and they were all fathers, recognized that it was important that there be some kind of neutral view, that police officers were not the only ones making these decisions. And that neutral view is contentless if all the police can say is people use their cell phones.
Well, Nancy Gertner is WBUR's legal analyst. She likes some of my questions and doesn't like others, but it's always a pleasure to ask them. Thanks so much. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.